The pandemic has affected every aspect of life, including the performing arts. There's plenty of data. Third quarter unemployment rates of 54% for dancers and 52% for actors. A 33-fold decline in consumer spending on all performing arts. Many companies have announced that they will remain closed for in-person performances for the foreseeable future. But as Jeffrey Brown found, there are glimmers of hope and pockets of movement where the show, even in new ways, is going on. Here's a look for our ongoing arts and culture series, Canvas.
On a recent Indian summer evening in an urban New York City field next to a cemetery, the thrilling sound and movement of flamenco dancer Nelida Tirado. Formed for a small, socially distanced audience. This is the Bronx Academy of Arts and Dance, known as BAD, an organization that presents work by local artists, especially women, people of color, and LGBTQ artists. Dancer and choreographer Arthur Aviles is BAD's co-founder and served as the evening's MC. Its theme, staying alive.
What's important to us is to make sure that we keep in touch with who it is that we are in these unfortunate times. We want to create a platform for the community to be a star on. That's really what we say.
Housed in a Gothic revivalist church with a black box theater that seats just 50 people, this 21-year-old organization has a 7-person staff and budget under $1 million, supported by foundations and government grants.
BAD is one of the fewest theaters or presenting arts organizations in the Bronx. And in this particular area, there are none. And that's really sad for the Bronx.
Do a recording of yourself.
Indoor performances aren't possible, but BAD offers its space to local artists to create virtual events and to teachers to continue dance and other classes. One, young students take turns in person while the rest join via Zoom.
This is about boxes and we're confined to that. And art is all about pushing against the boundaries of those boxes and helping all of us see the world.
You're used to having to deal with difficult circumstances.
People would say, oh, you're just poor. And I would say, yeah, and. You can find great creativity in the simplicity of the voice, of the simplicity of the body, of the simplicity of communication.
Whatever possessed you to come down?
In Portland, Maine, another approach as we watched a rehearsal for an upcoming indoor performance at Portland Stage. How can this show go on? Through a determined response to an existential threat.
It's like going on an expedition to the moon in a way, Jeff. It's a different way of doing something that I've been doing for years and years and years and that seems so secondhand.
This is the kind of theater where the artistic director, Anita Stewart, pitches in to paint the sets. Last spring, Portland Stage was closed, leading to $1 million loss in ticket revenues, a huge hit for a company with an overall budget of $2.5 million.
Was there ever any question for you that you would be presenting live theater?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This summer, it seemed like it was not going to be possible.
Instead, they're aiming for an October 29th opening, but with a play, Lanford Wilson's Tally's Folly, directed by Sally Wood.
I feel like Kathy is leading this a little bit.
With just two actors. And Kathy McCafferty and David Mason are married. No fears about social distancing. Portland Stage installed equipment in its HVAC system, which can eliminate any COVID virus in the air. And it provides regular testing for actors, crew, and staff. The audience will be limited to just 50 in a 288-seat theater.
Even 50? How do you convince people to come in?
It is a challenge, and I think a big part of it is doing the work that we're doing to make sure people know that we are taking safety precautions that are going to make this experience as safe as it possibly can be.
That's helped by being in a state with relatively few COVID cases. Still, going forward is fraught.
Is this a viable financial model for you, though? This isn't going to bring in much money, right?
Long term, this is not viable. This is about providing a service right now, and it's a service of the heart. It's a service of the soul. It's a service for the artists that we can employ, and it's a service for the small number of people that will be able to come in and see the work.
Innovative new production and financial models are also being tested, including scaling down the grand in opera to something more intimate and even colorful in an outdoor circus tent on a baseball field.
You know, they say never waste a crisis. And I think this crisis created two sort of business models that could be with us for years to come, and that's the people and the location.
So rather than turning from her...
Artistic director Tomer Zvuloun is still working with international caliber singers, but all are Atlanta-based and now comprise the Atlanta Company Players, a kind of hometown all-star team. They were all grounded anyway with lost bookings and income. And as soprano Jasmine Habersham told us, there's now an added and unexpected benefit.
It changes the dynamic. You could have a family and you can be secure, and you can even, you know, just have that availability to be by the ones that you love and do what you love as well.
The company canceled its planned season and scaled down for a COVID-era alternative. Fewer singers and musicians, a smaller audience and budget, from $10 million to $6.6 million.
This pandemic really exposed the vulnerabilities of non-for-profits with a very high cost structure. And it's a lesson to all of us to make sure that the cost structure that we keep is nimble enough for us to pivot when times get rough. During some of the darkest time in humanity, artists found ways to connect with other people through performance. And that is something that this company is very committed to.
The lessons here won't apply to all performing arts organizations, and success for any of these groups is hardly guaranteed, with winter bringing new challenges. Still, in some places, and last night in Atlanta, in new forms and spaces, the show goes on. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown.